This hour of the Jason Rand Show is brought to you by Northwest Safe. There is a lot of news happening all around the world and right here at home. So, let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? A Jason Rant exclusive.
Embattled incumbent Seattle City Councilmember Lisa Herbold and her husband, they were hit with a notice of a federal tax lien from the IRS for $32,645.03. This according to a document we have obtained on the Jason Rant Show. The lien came just a few weeks before Lisa Herbold decided to criticize her opponent, Phil Tavel, for financial mismanagement over a tax lien on a business he does not actually own. Now, I'm looking at the document right now. In fact, we've got a photo of it for you to check out. If you text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to the number 1-800-465-8770. On this document, I've got in my hands, see, it's an actual document. It says in part, we've made a demand for payment on this liability, but it remains unpaid. Therefore, there's a lien in favor of the United States on all property and rights to property belonging to this taxpayer for the amount of these taxes, an additional penalty, interest, and costs that may accrue. Now, according to this document, Herbold and her husband, Robert Combs, had an assessment of taxes owed in both August 2014 and in November 2015. The address listed on the document is not to their West Seattle home, but to their North Bend home, the place where a rumor has been, it's been out there for a while, that she spends more time there than actually in her own neighborhood of West Seattle. The lien was filed on September 19th, 2019. Now, I went back because I find that date to be curious because I go, oh, that's kind of recent, yeah? Because it's just October 17th. You got this just a few weeks ago? Okay. What happened 3 weeks after she got that lien on September 19th? She decided to blast her opponent, Phil Tavel, for what she described as, quote, a pattern of recklessness and management, mismanagement, end quote, of finances. She called him out because he has a federal tax lien, an amount, by the way, less than what the Herbolds owe, to a business that he was associated with. And she said, character and judgment matter in this job. Believe me, I know. And matter, if you notice on this email, all in caps. That means she's serious.
Matter.
They
all
matter.
Caps.
You have
all
to,
caps.
No, you got to slam your hand down. We said, matter.
Matter.
Yeah. And this line was being picked up by a whole bunch of people who are allies of Lisa Herbold. They picked up on the criticism. Our least favorite political consultant from the Civic Alliance for Progressive Economy, Heather Weiner. She published a screenshot of the lien against a business that Tavel was associated with, but doesn't actually own, which is maybe why in that screenshot, his name wasn't even on it. This is the same political consultant who was pushing opposition research, which included the information about this lien to various media reporters here. None apparently picking them up in any meaningful way, at least. Funny thing is, I spoke to Phil Tavel yesterday. He was like, yeah, I was briefly the general counsel and director of business development for one particular business that was owned by a friend. I think he told me something along the lines he spent like 7 months there. The federal tax liability was assigned to a new business that he got involved in, Business IQ, that Phil Tavel ended up working for very, very briefly. He was listed as a registered agent and governor on the new business. He doesn't own the business. He doesn't owe the money back. And yet, Lisa Herbold decided to go up against him, to use this against him when she knew that she was hit with a document with her name on it, suggesting she owes back taxes of $33,000 almost. That's what we call hypocrisy. That is what we all say that we loathe when it comes to politics. The nastiness. The shameful double standard. And she had the audacity, when I asked for a comment, to just double down. Ignore every single question I asked about this particular tax lien. And just attack Phil Tavel again. I don't think that's right. I think Lisa Herbold is a big reason as to why there are so many problems in the city of Seattle, because she cares nothing about any of the issues that you and I deal with. whether or not you even live in Seattle. She doesn't care. She cares about herself. She cares about staying in power. She cares so much about staying in power, she would just blatantly attack someone for conduct that she's already done, conduct directly related to her, conduct that's way worse than what she's accusing her opponent of. Now, Robert Combs, her husband, sent me this long email saying, actually, my bad, this is my fault. All the problems has nothing to do with Lisa, has everything to do with me. All she's done that she's guilty of is falling in love with a bad accountant. That's almost a direct quote.
Wow,
from this
really?
Email.
Yeah. Oh, man. This could be a movie.
Here's the funny thing. So I got his long email, and I read it. And because I'm a normal human being for the most part, I started to feel a little bit bad for Lisa Herbold. Because I was looking at this like, oh, maybe it isn't her fault. Maybe it's all Robert Combs, and she didn't realize it, and, you know, do we really want to blame her for what happened? And I sent a note back, and I was just asking, basically, like, you're asking us to believe this letter from your husband. You're asking us to give you some level of deference, some level of courtesy in contextualizing all of the tax dollars that you owe. Did you ever think just for a moment to extend that same level of courtesy to Phil Tavel, your opponent? Didn't respond. That's when she sent me her statement doubling down on the criticism. And that's when I realized she's just not a good person. She's just not a good person. Because good people have a conscience that will say, okay, Lisa, I know you want to stay in power because your heart's in the right place. You want to help people. You have a bad record of helping people, but that's what you want to do. Why don't you show some level of honesty and fairness? Because Jason is giving you the opportunity. Because he's going to print this entire letter from your husband with permission. Why don't you just show some level of character? Now, maybe that conscience voice in the back of her head was telling her that, and she was on the fence, and then maybe someone around her said, push that aside. You're the campaign manager or consultant, something. No, don't do it. Just double down.
Like a little shoulder mascot there.
Got the devil
her,
and the angel. And the devil ended up winning.
Yeah, hate to see it.
And when you allow yourself to put out this kind of trash to go after an opponent who you're unfairly maligning, that makes you a bad person. I'm sorry. I generally don't do that. I will disagree with people and still assume the best of them. But there are some people who just act in a way that I don't think are deserving of that level of fairness. Because it's no longer fair to assume that someone who does something like this is a good person. Now, maybe she's convinced herself that this is what's necessary, but you know what? I don't want to live in a city run by someone like that. And neither should any of you. And so what I would love everyone to do right now, because this is the kind of stuff that is so despicable and dirty and cheap and petty that it needs to be called out. I need every single person right now. Do me one favor. You need to share this story so we can shine a big spotlight. Because you know what? The Seattle Times likes her in their news department. They're not going to cover this. Media outlets are not going to cover this. We will cover this, and I just need your help. I need you to read this story and post it on your Facebook wall, your Twitter feed, your LinkedIn account. Send it to friends and family members, especially the ones who live in West Seattle. But the thing is, let's say you're listening to me right now in Silverdale. And you're like, man, I don't even get out to Seattle all that much. You post it on your Twitter or Facebook feed. It's going to get in front of someone who's a friend of yours who maybe lives in Mukilteo, who then says, wow, this is nasty. Let me share this. And then that dude in Mukilteo is going to post, and then one of their friends who lives in Seattle is going to see it. That's how this all works. And this is the exact type of story that needs to go viral. Text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to the number 1-800-465-8770. Do not sit back and say that this is a Seattle issue, that we don't need to pay attention to it, it doesn't matter. Bad policies, inspired by bad politicians like Lisa Herbold, they spread. They get into Monroe. They get into Sammamish and Issaquah. They get into Bellevue and Tacoma and Olympia and Edmonds, and we've already seen it happen. It's gotten into Spokane. It's gotten into the Tri-Cities. So now it's up to you to step up and help me. Don't normally ask you for all that much. On this, I need your help. I want every single person to get eyes on this story, because this is Despicable Actions by Lisa Herbold. Text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to the number 1-800-465-8770, and I'll send you a link to the story. Of course, you can also just go to ktth.com, get it yourself. That's easier for you. Text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. That's a none better tax resolution hotline. Never send me another text message complaining about not being able to give an opportunity to step up to the nonsense in Seattle if you don't text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to the number 1-800-465-8770. We just got a whole bunch of text messages. I know there are more people out there. I know there are, because I see the ratings. Thank you, by the way. Text R-A-N-T-Z to 1-800-465-8770. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? You can't make this up.
So more fallout from this decision on Bainbridge Island over at Blakely Elementary School, where they decided to cancel a costume event for Halloween, citing inclusivity, which apparently is a term that social justice activists use when they really mean, I don't want you guys to ever have fun, because maybe under one circumstance, someone isn't going to have fun, feel left out, feel picked on, so we're not going to go ahead and do it. And then you push back, it's like, oh, has someone actually said that they feel left out? Well, no, but I mean, I'm sure that they're out there. What did I say yesterday? What did I say yesterday, Producer Peyton? That we're going to find out that no one was actually complaining. That this was proactive. I absolutely said that. What did we find out today?
No one complained.
No one was complaining. No one asked the school to cancel this event. And yet, Principal Reese Andy decided, let me proactively do it just in case. I told you that that was going to happen. I told you, because I know how these people think. They think they know better than everybody else. It is a position of arrogance. So they decided to get angry, get upset, get left out, feel like they're the victim on behalf of other people, because they believe that someone needs to feel angry and sad and anxious and left out and put upon. That's how they think. People did not ask for this. Here's a dad of a kid who goes to Blakely talking with Q13 and says, I don't understand why we're doing this.
Kind of swinging the pendulum to I guess, you know, respect everyone, which of course I think most people in this community want to do. But at the same time, is there a big outcry?
I get it on some level, right? The school district's trying to be respectful.
Yeah, they're just trying to be respectful of people who have not actually complained. Two Bainbridge Island moms decided to start a petition at change.org. Now, again, kudos to them for pushing back against this silly move, but these petitions do nothing. They do absolutely nothing, because you're assuming under a petition like this, which has already 500 signatures, as of this morning at least, you assume that the principal there cares about what you have to say. Did that principal talk to you about this beforehand? No. Would you have said what you're saying now to that principal directly? Yes. They don't care what you have to say. They don't care what Dahlia has to say. She's a mom who wrote on this petition something that is brilliant. I love this. She said, I am Jewish. My children have had to miss school, including a field trip, in order for us to observe our religion on the holiest of the Jewish holidays. My husband and I accepted that situation because we believe in the greater good, that my child's entire class should not have to miss a field trip simply because one student had to. And yet here we are being told that the entire student population of Blakely, with the exception of a few to which our principal is referring, had to miss Halloween. This is not right. And the decision should be immediately reversed. And if you don't want to listen to a mom, how about you listen to a fourth grader kid named Quentin?
All the classes get together in the school, and you basically just walk around the school, seeing everybody's costume.
I'm very upset with that, because it's really fun.
Quentin didn't ask for this. No one did. But we decided to do it anyway. But we decided that we're going to do that anyway. I think that's wrong. I think that's absolutely wrong. But by the way, Producer Peyton's giving me a look, because he knows there's one more clip that I didn't really want to play, but I feel like I need to.
You should.
Because Quentin's there, adorable little fourth grade kid. Oh, I want to put on my costume. I want to go get candy. It's not fair. He's got a sellout in his family.
Yeah, at least Quentin told the truth.
Oh, Quentin needs to have a conversation with his father.
Any direction that we go to be more inclusive is probably the right direction.
Oh, so you just sold out your kid by accepting the position of the school. Q13 should have protected that father, not actually put that out there, because little Quentin going to go home today and say, Dad?
Yes?
I heard you sold me out on Q13 and now I hate you. I hate you!
There's no coming back from that.
No, there's not. Once the kid says they hate you, it stays with them forever.
Teen angst is starting earlier and earlier in 2019.
Well, how old is a fourth grader? 19? 6? I never know.
Somewhere between there. No, 11? 10. Maybe 10.
10?
I'm going 10. I think I was 12 in 6th grade.
Okay. But you also got held back a few times.
Yeah, like 6. Maybe, okay. But
good for that kid standing up to it. I guess it's done for inclusive. I love, we can explain away just about anything. Well, they said they're doing it for inclusivity, and that's good, right? Yes, inclusivity is good. Doesn't mean that just because you say it's being done for inclusivity makes it the right move. Stop hiding behind that nonsense. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Media bias.
So this is how media bias works. It's actually kind of ridiculous. We have Elijah Cummings, congressman from Baltimore. He died. He died of complications concerning some health issues that he was having. In fact, when I did some research on him, just because this kind of came completely by surprise for me, apparently in the last few weeks, he's been in and out of the hospital. He's been missing votes. He's been missing businesses on the committee that he's on, that he chaired. And apparently was spotted several times with a breathing tube in his nose connected to oxygen. When he was speaking to reporters over the course of the last week or so, he would have to wait like 15 to 20 seconds to catch his breath before speaking. He was driving around in a motorized wheelchair through the Capitol. He would walk using a walker. So he clearly was having some health issues lately, and unfortunately he passed. Now, instead of highlighting the fact that this is a guy who, regardless of our political disagreements, has a very important history in the civil rights movement, in fighting against racism, in sticking up in his view for his community in the best way possible, this was the title of the CNN article that I saw this morning along with the breaking news. Representative Elijah Cummings, key figure in Trump investigation, dies at 68. He did do some civil rights things that probably should be highlighted. He was an important and powerful figure within the Democratic Party. And you're putting out key figure in Trump investigations almost as if to make it sound like he was murdered? Because that was the first thing I thought of, was like, wait, is this a suspicious death? Because he's key in the Trump investigations and he was just found dead and he's only 68. You don't expect that to happen. No one was really leading a whole bunch of reports about his illness. Why would they phrase it that way?
Nope.
Because they wanted to just tie this somehow to Trump, really? He's also key figures in civil rights movement, in fighting for Baltimore, in pushing for a Democratic majority, all things presumably CNN would get behind. But they're saying, oh, key figure in the Trump investigation. Okay, thanks. All the way at the bottom of the story, they get into what he actually meant historically to his district. It's just super weird, but that's how bias works. Speaking of weird, you're a weirdo. If you didn't text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. I don't want to be blunt, but I mean, you're a weirdo.
You can't call our listeners weirdos.
I won't call them a weirdo if they literally take out their phones, text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to the number 1-800-465-8770. You're no longer a weirdo if you do that.
So are you telling me that if somebody is driving down I-5 right now, you want them to take out their phone and text RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z,
to
800-465-8770?
Once they pull over. Now, again, I'll take away the weirdness moniker once you text us. So I'm not saying you have to do it right now. You're a weirdo until you do it.
You mean texting RANTZ to what?
1-800-465-8770.
Seems easy enough.
God, thank you for the pass there.
Yeah, no problem.
What's the thing, the alley-oop?
I'm throwing you a lob.
Yeah, that, what you just said. And that's Basketball.
Yeah.
I know. Welcome back to the Jason Rancho on AM 770 KTTH and 94.5 FM on the Greater East Side. Seattle Police Officers Guild is out with their endorsements in the crucial Seattle City Council races, taking us through the process and endorsements, which does have some surprises. It's SPOG VP Officer Mike Solon. Officer Solon, thank you so much for coming on.
Jason, happy to be here again.
So there are some surprises in all of this. You guys have decided to officially endorse four candidates. Take us through the endorsements.
Well, I think for the most part, we were heavily focused on public safety, and the fact that we had a forum last week signified to the citizens of this city how serious we are about the public safety issue. And that is first and foremost on our minds. That's what our members really hold dear, is professional public safety service. And we see what's happening on the streets in this city. And in fact, I live in this city, so I see it firsthand every day. It's appalling what's happening. And so we will need a significant change with city politics. And we thought hosting a forum would give us a say and dictate how politics is run in the city. And we're confident in our picks, but there were difficult discussions. We had long meetings about this, and we had some passionate discussions. But at the end of the day, we're comfortable with who we chose. We're looking forward to seeing a change in City Hall. And in particular, we want to see significant change with the issue of public safety.
Yeah. So let's talk about District Number 1, Phil Tavel, the opponent going up against incumbent Lisa Herbold, who, you know, I've been talking about Lisa Herbold, the council member, for a very long time now. She's an absolute disaster on a whole host of issues, including policing. Take us through your decision there, because obviously you're going against an incumbent.
Yeah, I mean, we appreciate both candidates coming to our forum. It was nice to have them participate. And I think that they had a robust discussion. But at the end of the day, I mean, I think the obvious choice was Phil. He seems credible, professional. He seems really engaged in finding a solution to the public safety issue. And he's reasonable. He has a wealth of knowledge of being a public defender. He also supports the police in certain issues. But he also wants to hold us accountable when we need being held accountable. And we have no problem with that. I mean, we are professionals in our trade, and we felt Phil was just real. He was authentic, and he really exudes the change that Seattle desperately needs for public safety. And I can, you know, I'm in West Seattle a lot, and I'm a resident of this city, and the energy around Phil's campaign, and particularly amongst the business owners on the major junctions along California Avenue, is quite telling. And for us, picking Phil was just a no-brainer.
So the only other district in which you did offer an endorsement where an incumbent was up for re-election, District Number 5, you guys decided to go with Deborah Juarez, the incumbent, over Ann Davis and Sattler. Ann Davis and Sattler, who is a huge supporter of police. This feels like a surprise.
Yeah, Jason, this was a tough one for us. Looking at what both candidates offered in relation to public safety, I can tell you with Juarez, she was the only candidate and city council member that voted for, without much, I guess, drama, voted for our contract, which is a plus for us. But more importantly, she supported the North Precinct along Aurora Avenue and pushed back against some of the activists who claimed it was a bunker. And we took that to heart, and that was basically the overriding decision as to whether or not we backed Juarez over Sattler. But Sattler is just as strong of a candidate. And we had many, many discussions about this district, and it was really difficult.
Was it unanimous?
For the listeners out, well, I can tell you that we decided to vote for Juarez, and it was a long discussion, Jason. How about that for a
But that's good. I want you guys having a discussion. The fact of the matter is, personally, I would go with Ann Davis and Sattler. And frankly, I know that a lot of members of SPOG would go with Ann Davis and Sattler. But to your point, you know what? You know, there are people who are not as unfriendly to cops as others, and maybe that played a bigger role.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, whether or not you're having discussion on an incumbent, what their odds are of being elected again versus a newcomer coming on, very solid candidate. And I thought she did a tremendous job at our forum, and she seems authentic, spoke from the heart. And I took that personally, where I was just overwhelmed by her demeanor and candor and her just passion for the issues that are impacting all of us.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, the incumbent got the nod based upon her history with supporting us at the contract table in the council vote, and particularly the North Precinct drama that the activists pushed hard And of course, the council caved on. I mean, the North Precinct is in shambles.
Yeah.
As far as the
it's just not good.
Terrible conditions.
Yeah, I've been there multiple times. It needs to be replaced. So if you're just joining me, we're talking with SPOG VP Officer Mike Solon about the endorsements that were put out today in the Seattle Council races. The only other two that you had officially endorsed, Heidi Willis in District Number 6. She's going up against a very extreme candidate in Dan Strauss. And then in District Number 2, this makes total sense. You did not go with Tammy Morales, the extremist socialist. You went with Mark Solomon, who is, yes, a progressive Democrat, but also he's got ties directly with the SPD, where I think some people are going to be a little bit shocked if they don't know some of the background in all of this, is in District Number 3, you decided not to endorse anyone. You have Andrew Lewis, who is, you know, pretty far to the left with ties to Seattle City Attorney Pete Holmes. But then you've got Jim Pugel, who's a former SPD chief. And the thinking would be, again, if you don't know the backstory, why wouldn't you go with Pugel? So why wouldn't you go with Pugel?
Well, out of respect for those candidates, we decided not to endorse in those races based upon their feedback related to the possibility of having us endorse them or not having us endorse them. So the decision was made to stay neutral in those races and just focus on the races that we feel reflected positivity towards having a SPOG endorsement in a manner that really reflected the issue of public safety and how it's impacting everybody in this city.
How much of Jim Pugel's activism over the course of the last year and his conversations about the contract played into not offering an endorsement?
Well, you know that former Chief Pugel, a former SPOG board member, rose up through the ranks, and it was quite difficult to have him do that 940 commercial with the Lyles family where he completely went against our members' actions.
And this, by the way, for folks at home who don't remember, this it was the initiative that makes it easier to charge police officers in cases where they have to use force.
Yeah, make it easier politically
when
they don't like the outcomes of those shootings, which they're all tragic. But in particular, the way he handled himself, basically throwing our members under the bus, that's unforgivable.
Yeah.
And we are always going to stand up for our members. That's what the union is for, is to fight for our members, protect them, protect the collective bargaining agreement, as any union would do. I find it ironic that the activists think that the union shouldn't exist with police officers are the topic of discussion. Quite the contrary. The union is the only cloak of protection that's stopping this unreasonable, or at least trying to prevent this unreasonable assault on our members. If we didn't have this union sticking up for the officers that work the street, I don't know who would stick up for us besides people such as yourself who care about public safety and other people in this city that are the silent majority that are just fed up. But when you have people that publicly go after our members when they, in my opinion, don't have a real grasp of the issues at hand, in particular his stance on 940, that was a major problem for us. So I guess I hope that answers your question, Jason.
It does. Last question on the endorsements. Let's just only spend about 30 seconds on this. Sean Scott is a very out there candidate in Eastlake University Place. He is a socialist who believes in the abolition of the SPD. So I'm assuming you were as shocked at his dangerous positions as I was when I watched that hearing last week.
Yeah, it just basically takes your breath away. It's like,
shocking.
How can you take these people? How can you take these people seriously? I mean, it's just like people that have that type of mindset. But having said that, and I think it illustrates to the public, even our haters or the supporters, is that regardless of people's opinions, if they're running for office and they have a certain mindset or a certain opinion on things, well, we had no problem inviting them to our forum. In fact, we wanted to hear their stance on issues. And even if they completely hate the police, they want to abolish us, well, we're professional enough to listen to what they have to say. We'll give them a platform. So everybody in this city that's paying attention to local politics, in particular when it comes to public safety, can hear where he stands.
Yeah.
And we were respectful. We offered him and his supporters food. Nobody really made it uncomfortable for them. We listened to everything that they had to say, and we were professional. So, I just pray that that mindset doesn't gather further traction and impact the mindset of our citizens, because That type of ideology to me is very, very scary and concerning. When you want to abolish police, and I think Brandi Cruz did a tremendous job being the moderator that evening when she asked him poignantly, if there was an active shooter in your neighborhood, would you call the police? I think it's quite telling what his response was.
Yeah. So we've only got about 90 seconds left. Just two quick questions. Number one, a quick react to Judge Robard, you know, basically saying that you guys can, in fact, the city can, in fact, hire outside counsel in order to help with the consent decree. What's your response?
Well, you know, Seattle Police Officers Guild, we're not a party to that lawsuit. It's between the city of Seattle and the federal government. But it's quite clear that the Department of Justice says that we've met all 10 for 10 agreed upon settlement agreement requirements, that we are in compliance. Our membership have done the hard work. We've reached reform at a record level. We are the model police force in this nation and internationally for training topics and the way we engage with the public. And it just shows you that we're consummate public safety professionals, but when we need to be held accountable, we have no problem being held accountable. But we must protect the collective bargaining agreement, because if we don't, then other labor organizations that aren't police, their collective bargaining agreements are just going to be at risk as ours are. And the activists want to take that away from us, and it's not going to happen. So we're going to continue to engage in reform. We're not reform obstructionists. We are professionals, and we're not scared or shy of being held accountable for our actions. And that's why the men and women who put this uniform on and risk their lives and give service to the citizens of this great city, I think exude that public safety image of being an outstanding police force. And the fact that we're still engaged in this reform issue that activists keep pushing says to the general public, yeah, we keep on getting hit over the head with this language that paints us as a force that needs to be constantly reformed. But I would say we've done the work. We continue to do professional work. At what point has reform been met? And apparently the Department of Justice says we have. So it's going to be interesting what happens, how the city's going to handle this come January. But then again, I still love being a police officer. So do the members, so do our members that work for this city. And we're going to keep on pushing on.
Last question for you. We only have 20 seconds left. Sean Massawan and Lisa Herbold both out with plans that would basically gut in one way or another the navigation team, which cleans up and connects homeless people who are living out in encampments with resources. There's a direct connection as this works with SPD. What's your quick reaction to her plans?
Anything that removes funding that is basically detrimental to public safety, we're not going to support. And there's a reason why we didn't support her in District 1, and we would never support Council Member Sawant, as she's called our members, murderers. Never going to happen, and I can't, for the life of me, even fathom supporting them. Anything related to public safety, as their record is just dismal.
There you go. Officer Mike Solon, the Vice President of the Seattle Police Officers Guild. My friend, thank you so much for stopping by. Really do appreciate it.
You bet, Jason. Anytime.
Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show live in the Online Trading Academy studio. Juul is suspending all sales of fruity flavors in the United States because we're all crazy here. You'll no longer be able to get any of these fruity flavors, including on their online store, which is where they exclusively sold mango and cream. Mango and cream, or is it mango, flavor mango, and flavor cream?
It's got to be the two.
Is it mango and cream?
There's no way it's... I wouldn't know.
Wouldn't it be called then just mango cream? I'm just noticing that because I'm going through the list of it says mango and cream. Is it mango and cream or is it mango? And also the flavor cream.
I'm sure there's a comma in there.
Because cream tastes, there's a taste to cream, like whipped cream.
Yeah.
Okay. It doesn't matter because you're not going to be able to buy it anymore because we've decided to go overboard in reacting to some of the claims of illnesses tied to off-market brands. Items that were purchased on the black market, not Juul items. But they've decided to voluntarily do this because they want to help try to earn back the trust for itself in the industry, given all the news stories. At the same exact time, guess what we learned today? King County is in the class action lawsuit game. They're looking for some dough. They're looking for some money. They are suing Juul, baselessly claiming that they're responsible for addicting kids to vaping. That is a baseless claim. If you are upset with kids gaining access to this, and you believe the line, that's bogus, as much as I don't think anyone should vape, let alone kids. But if you're telling me that because there are fruity flavors available that appeal to kids, that explains that kids are using vaping products, that's why they're using it. Okay, why are you not going after booze that is flavored? There's literally birthday cake vodka. It is the most disgusting vodka I've ever sipped in my life.
You had it?
I've had a taste because I was like, how could that? No, that's not right. That's wrong. It's disgusting. It makes me want to puke. They've got mango, not mango and cream or mango cream. They've got mango flavored and raspberry flavored and cherry flavored, all juicy flavored vodkas out there. And by the way, beer, right? Why are you not going after them? Because do kids still drink? Could you double check that? Check on Wikipedia.
You want me to Google it?
Yeah, just Google it. Do kids still drink? What'd you find out?
Big ol' yes.
Yes, they still drink. Now, I don't want them to drink, and presumably King County doesn't want them drinking. We should not want underage kids drinking, period. It's bad for them. I would argue it's worse for them than Juul, but it's bad. I don't want you to do any of it. Why are we not being consistent here? And I've not gotten an answer on that topic. I've heard people say, well, yeah, I mean, we definitely don't want kids drinking. Okay, well, then why aren't you suing? Well, you know, we're talking about this news story because Juul's in the news. Well, no, Juul's not in the news. Vaping's in the news. Black market products are in the news. You're then tying it to Juul because you see Juul having a whole bunch of money and you want it. Because when you look at this, the county says they want the Juul company to pay damages, even though there aren't that many people sick in King County, but they want to pay damages for that. But they also want to fund preventive education and addiction treatment. Addiction treatment? People get off cigarettes by using Juul. This is actually part of their addiction treatment. An addiction treatment, does that mean you're going to use it just for the people who have stepped up and said, I am addicted to Juul products. I'm addicted to nicotine. Or are you going to use that money to go after other forms of addiction services? Now, I'm glad you're going to put money into addiction services, but doesn't it seem kind of like this is a money grab and you don't spend money efficiently? So I don't feel the need to want to give you any more for anything. This is a scam. And they try to shame people by saying, oh, you're mad, so you must want kids to smoke Juul. No, I don't. You must want kids to get addicted. No, no. I just want to be intellectually honest. You're listening to The Jason Rand Show on AM 770 KTTH.